My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome in. This is the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Chris Onocero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Finally, Jay, we've gotten done with the NFL Combine. Yeah. We finally got the numbers that we were looking for. And I think now we have a much more clear idea of where the Chiefs might go in the draft now that we got a little bit more tangibles here for the prospects in the that are going to be drafted in April.
Yeah, first of all, thank everybody listening and downloading the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. And also the ones that are just listening to us for the first time on the radio, because the podcast is taken that we put out each and every Tuesday, and the podcast on the radio that you're listening to now on 610, if you happen to be listening to it. So we appreciate the business.
Yes, this is through the draft will be available on Saturdays on 610 Sports Radio. So if you, obviously, we hope that you are subscribing and downloading the podcast.
Download, subscribe still, because you get surprises.
But if you happen to miss it, we also appreciate you listening on Saturdays as well, as we this airs on demand for the listeners.
And if you get to hear it all and you want to hear it all, it's same thing. Odyssey, 610sports.com, 435 Podcast Network, Character Concerns right there. Chris and I both tweet it out all the time. The station account tweets it out as well, or wherever you get your podcasts, Character Concerns. But yeah, so we've been waiting for the Combine to be done. Now it's just another step in the draft process as we zero into top 30 visits, where the real smoke screen begins for NFL teams, where they bring you in. People like to say, ooh, they bringing in a certain player. Like Gould of Oregon State's going to visit the Chiefs, right? Everybody's talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, they hit Rashee Rice last year. We know he's down at Camp Pat working out, and he was. And we've heard about all the other receivers coming in, Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers and all this.
It was Brandon Flowers.
No, Zay.
Was it Zay?
Zay Flowers.
It was Zay Flowers. I'm tripping Brandon. It was Zay Flowers.
Well, Brandon Flowers did play for the Chiefs, so in all fairness.
It was Zay Flowers, and it was Quentin Johnston were the other two guys, at the other two wide receivers.
Quentin Johnston, I know they did, too.
Johnston was, he was, because it was TCU anyway. They were
down
TCU
there at
campus.
His place, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah. We'll talk more about the guys who did visit interview with the Chiefs at the Combine coming up later in the show. We're going to also really go through each individual day of the Combine, who we thought were the winners, who we thought were the losers for the draft. But I want to start with the
data. Oh, and by the way, this was a wide receiver combine. Everybody's buzzing about wide receivers and offensive linemen. So it's exactly kind of what we've been looking at all year.
Right. I mean, So Saturday was a great day for the combine.
Great day.
Sunday was really good. There was a lot of really good players there. I also thought Thursday was really good, too. I thought Thursday there was a lot of interesting guys there. Certainly some people you could look at.
The wide receiver stole the show. This could be the most ever we see in the first round. And linemen.
Possibly.
Seven tackles is the record in 2008. you could see that fall as well.
Very possible that that happens. It's very possible we could see up to seven. I'm kind of leaning that it won't happen this year because I think some of these guys here in the combine might have hurt their stock a little bit, but we'll see. But first, we got to talk about the data that we get out of this combine here.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was kind of thrown out there pretty much throughout the entire combine was about Puka Nacua and the data tracking that comes or that has been introduced in the combine the last few years. He was all around the marketing for the combine the entire weekend. And it's funny because, like, you know, last year he set the record for most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. And he was a fifth round pick that was not talked about other than his performance at the combine.
Fourth, fifth round pick of the Rams. Yeah. Fourth, fifth round pick.
He was not talked about at all, except for the real, like, hardcore combine guys. Aside from that, he was not put out there as a top pick, and yet he ended up being this really great pick for the Rams.
Yeah, it's funny because you wonder, like, which direction. I do believe that a lot of these articles are talking about the 40 times. There's 100 guys that didn't run. And 300 guys were at the combine. 100 guys did not run in the 40.
Seemed like a lot of guys, like, there's a lot more people than usual that were opting not to run the 40.
And the quarterbacks, it was funny, that first group, it was Sam Hartman.
Was it just Sam Hartman? Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like I can understand wanting to know what the quarterback's 40 is, though, because teams want to know how, like, your scrambling ability. Not that it matters. Patrick Mahomes, we know, did not run it very fast.
4.8, 40.
4.82 or something like that.
It was 4.8 flat.
4.8 flat. Yeah. Yeah, and so they compare that. And it wasn't, but he's a great runner. And he's the Chiefs' all-time leading postseason rusher. So that's important. But the other thing about Puka was this. People ask all the time, well, how did Puka fall? 4.57 40. So everybody's like, yeah, not good for Puka. But the bottom line is his GPS tracking, because the players are wearing trackers on themselves. So he runs that in over 20 miles an hour, the gauntlet. That's where they run straight down, like, the 30-yard line or whatever, and you got to catch seven passes.
Yeah, they're coming from either side.
And then
you catch one final one, and you turn the corner.
It's
an
important one, so you got to go down the line so you can go faster. But anyway, he did that at 20.6 miles an hour, fastest during any receiver. Now, Keon Coleman, the guy that you and I really wanted to see, he ran a 4.61 in the 40-yard dash. However, he was the fastest at the combine by running over 21 miles an hour in the gauntlet. He ran the second fastest go route down the football field when they were doing that. Second fastest time in that. So all of a sudden you're saying, all right, this guy's athletic. This guy's a football player. When the guy's getting the football, he does well. The 40-yard dash, he doesn't do as well. What's more important, football speed or that time speed? Well, Puka clearly chose the example. But more and more teams are putting a lot more stock in that GPS tracking. I thought that was pretty interesting when Michael David Smith at Pro Football Talk had that story out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be something that the more data that we get out here, that stuff's going to be used a lot more by these teams as far as evaluating talent. But, you know, it's funny because it's like, you got people out here trying to say, like, oh, well, the 40's starting to get obsolete. But it's like, I don't believe that. I think, because here's what I think. I think the 40 time is more of a media and fan thing than it is a team evaluation thing. I do think that teams, you know, are interested in how fast these guys are going, and it gives them a full picture of that player. But, like, I mean, aside from Al Davis, like, who do you know that was, like, legitimately looking at 40 times and be like, okay, we're going to draft that guy simply because of the 40 times?
I think running backs, wide receivers, it's very important. Like, offensive linemen, I'm sitting watching those guys run it, and I was like, who's going to pull their hamstring next? Because, like, Marius Mims, when you see this, you know, going.
Yeah, Olufoshanu, he injured his quad.
The 10-yard splits are all that matters for offensive linemen.
Right, and, so say, and something for D-linemen, too.
I wish they would have opted out of the deal, to be honest with you. I didn't think that would have been fair for them to do that, to opt out of it. But it's interesting. John Ross, we all know, he ran the fastest 40 time before Xavier Worthy beat the record with a 4.21 this year. John Ross is 4.22. The interesting thing about John Ross is he was a decent receiver at Washington, not a top 10 pick at Washington. The Bengals thought otherwise. They drafted him number 9 overall. Patrick Mahomes is drafted 10th overall in the 2017 draft, so they drafted him ahead of Mahomes. So forget about Trubisky and all this. Don't forget about Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals passing on Mahomes as well. But it is interesting, full circle, that John Ross ended up on the Chiefs last year on their practice squad. So it does come full circle. But it shows you it's not the end all be all. And really, if you look at the top 10 times ever in the combine, it's not great. Chris Johnson's probably the best of the bunch, you know, as far as having a good career. There's a bunch of Marquise Goodwins and stuff like this that guys you never heard from again.
Yeah, and there's some guys who we never really got to. Like, I don't think Randy Moss run? I don't think he ran.
I don't know. And Deion actually ran like a 4.27. Right. But I don't. That would be considered top 10. So I don't know why it's not considered. Was it not official or what? I don't.
Right. Yeah. So it's.
But
like,
I remember he left the combine early. Like a lot of these guys did.
He ran and just left.
He just ran and left. And he told the Giants, he goes, "I'm not going to interview with you." He goes, "Where are you picking?" They said 10th. And he goes,
"You ain't getting me. I ain't gonna be there."
So I mean, it's not like these Malik Nabers and Caleb Williams and these guys did anything new at the draft. It's been going on for years.
Yeah. I do think that, yeah, it's part of the evaluation process. I think media and fans blow it a little bit out of proportion. I think it's just a part of the data. It is not the only part of the data like we make it out to be. So getting into our thoughts as far as like each day, I want to start with day one. Day one was defensive linemen and linebackers. So this was an important day, especially for Chiefs fans, because Chiefs do need some D-line depth, especially on the interior. And
one guy under contract.
Only one guy under contract. I mean,
Neil Farrell.
Yeah. And you know, there's word that Chris Jones, you know, looking like he might come back to Kansas City. We'll talk more about that later. But you know, starting out with who I thought the big winners were. First off, I know some people were down on this. Darius Robinson, I thought, looked good. I know his 40 time wasn't that great, 4.95. He could have, I mean, his bench reps wasn't that impressive, only 21. But if you look at the rest of his performance there, relative athletic score, which is kind of like the big thing that's going around in like the media circles and whatnot, 9.64. This is out of 10. So he scored in the elite upper echelon of the as far as athletic scores go. And he also did interview with the Chiefs. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Sometimes that's a smokescreen. But I thought he looked really good. You watch him in the drills. I thought he looked really good out there.
Yeah, he did. And his stock's going up so much more than it was at the beginning of the year. The Senior Bowl and all that just did him
Senior
wonders.
Bowl was great for him.
The Combine, too. I don't think people are worried about so much about the times. I mean, he's 285, almost 290 pounds. I don't think they're extremely worried about that because he proved what he could do on the football field.
But there's a lot. The thing was, a lot of people were like looking at him solely as an edge rusher, and I just don't think that's what.
Yeah, the RAS is nice. It's a good deal for him.
Yeah,
I don't know where that ranks out of like 1,200 guys that went through, but I think it's in the.
I'm not sure exactly.
Low 100. A lot of these guys.
But it's incredibly high. Like
Ben Sennett was like the 120th or something. I mean, yeah. These guys, these RASs do matter.
Of the defensive linemen, like really of the defensive tackles, only Braden Fisk and Ruka Roro scored better than him, that as far as I see. Which, by the way, Braden Fisk, Ruka Roro, Roro is the defensive tackle from Clemson. He looked really great.
Well, here you go, Chris. Here's
Braden Fisk looked really great.
Braden Fisk.
He looks so great.
Get to him in a second, but here's Darius Robinson, right? That 9.64 out of a possible 10.
Yes.
Ranked 60 out of 1,620 from 87 to 2024. So, yeah, that's ranked 60th out of 1,620 players there. But no, Braden Fisk, he led in the 40. The vertical, the broad, he's a third-team All-American. He made himself some money. Braden Fisk is one of the big, big winners at the Combine this weekend.
I think he probably got himself into the second round.
He didn't. I second,
I thought
too.
He was a third or fourth round guy before. Like, you know, I talked to you about it. I liked how he looked at the Senior Bowl. Rushing off a 3-tech.
He just blew a 4.78 at his size.
That was crazy.
290 pounds.
That was crazy. Yeah, he's real big. And his arm length was a little short, 31 inches, but the size that he had, the speed that he has, certainly you look at him, you're like, you're very impressed by that. Dallas Turner was really impressive. I kind of think that Dallas Turner now is the top edge rusher in the draft class. He has an 83-inch reach, which is 6'11", by the way. He's 6'2", and he has his arms are 34 3/7 and 34.37 inches. And he also ran a 4.46 40. His RAS score was 949.
85 out of 1,637 between 87 and
24. Another guy's Chop Robinson. He did great. 6'2", 254. 32.5 inch arms. A little bit shorter than what you would like for the edge rusher. But, you know, a lot of people are comparing him to Micah Parsons. Parsons was a guy who has like 31 inch arms. So he's doing well without the long arms. But one thing you are seeing is that, you know, Chop, his athleticism was on display, 4.48 40 time, and especially at 254 pounds. Yeah. He was out here running faster than guys way smaller.
Speaking
than
of 254, I think Jared Verse put up some big time numbers. Great.
He was Verse. He could challenge Dallas Turner for that top spot.
I mean, we were lukewarm on him and high on him all at the same time this year. We had an interesting ride with Jared Verse. We wanted to see what he would do. And, hey, he's a big part of the reason Florida State was undefeated in the regular season.
He also had 31 reps on the bench, which is just to give you a handle of how great that is. 31 reps of all of the defensive linemen I found the reps for who actually did that.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
the bench press, like none of these guys did as many reps as him. Not Chris Jenkins, who had 29, not Darius Robbins, who had 21, not Braden Fisk, who had 26, not Rook Aurora, who had 29. I mean, he was out here doing, he was doing a lot more reps than some of the offensive linemen.
He led all defensive linemen. He was fourth out of anybody.
Yes.
Offensive line doesn't matter. He was fourth.
And he also ran a 4.58 40, which is really
it's ridiculous.
Like, there are some athletes in this edge rush class. It hasn't gotten a lot
of state players.
Right. And it hasn't gotten a lot of push there. I definitely think that we're seeing a very good edge rush class. And I do think that this was a really good day. I think, you know, especially like Aurora, Braden Fisk, Darius Robinson, those are the guys that I'm looking at as far as maybe a day two. I don't think Darius will be there day two, but like, you know, maybe a Fisk or Aurora day two. I think those would be really interesting looks. Continuing on with the combine evaluation, there were some guys I thought kind of took a hit as far as how their performance at the combine. Three guys I thought on day one, you know, kind of probably lost themselves some money. McKinley Jackson, number one. I think he didn't really look that impressive from an athletic standpoint. RAS score 3.52. But yeah, like 5.26 40 time. As far as like vertical cones, nothing impressive. You know, obviously the RAS scores, a lot of these times still aren't 100% official. So we still, you know, that could change. But right now he didn't look very impressive. And Khalid Duke, edge rusher from Kansas State, a guy I was really rooting for, RAS was 7.10. He just didn't look that fast. Yeah,
4.79 for 246 pounds.
And he's only 246. He's smaller than guys like Jared Verse. guys like Chop Robinson, guys like Dallas Turner, who were much faster than him at the 40. So I think that in that case, he definitely lost. As far as linebackers go, Peyton Wilson, man. I think Peyton Wilson might be, I think he might have put himself in the first round, man.
No, he did. I mean, he was a guy you think about out there, and you're like, okay, this could be your green dot guy.
Yeah.
That's your green dot run stuffer. You can get him coverage. Just the speed, the athletic ability. But Peyton Wilson made himself some money. I mean, it's like a Leo Chanel type, you know, a guy that's going to give you every single thing you got, play anywhere you want to, versatility, can rush. Even being an inside linebacker, outside, doesn't matter. Drew Tranquil can play inside, outside. It doesn't matter where you put him.
Yeah, he's real fast, 4.43 40. He was actually kind of a little mad he didn't get into the 4.3s. So you watch him on tape, and he looks really fast out there. He's a guy, yeah, I think mid to late first round, we could see him be a surprise pick for somebody. You know, I was looking at it earlier. I was like, you know what? It wouldn't shock me if the Steelers went out and got a guy like him. Because, you know, you shore up your defense. You kind of got a game manager as a quarterback. A guy like Peyton Wilson, I think, definitely made himself some money. As far as like guys who I think might have hurt themselves a little bit, Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State, linebacker, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson, both those guys didn't really do any workouts or anything. They just measured in, they just weighed in, and that's it. Trotter came in at 6'2", 228, so there's going to be some teams that ding him for the height. Maybe that's not fair or anything, but there's going to be teams that do that, so... I definitely think, you know, this linebacker class is not great, but I do think, like, Peyton Wilson, Trevin Wallace from Kentucky, those are two guys to look out for sure.
Yeah, a guy that really emerged this year. I mean, he was so-so in his career, but the three interceptions this year, the three pass breakups, two by playing linebacker as well. So, guy did it all.
Day two was really interesting because I think it kind of exposed that maybe this cornerback class and this safety class isn't as good as we thought it would be. And I don't think anyone here was like, oh, this is a great corner class, but it looked a little weaker than normal. Like, Quinyon Mitchell looked great. Quinyon Mitchell was by far the best corner out there at the combine. He looked awesome. Terrion Arnold, little slower than what you'd like, 4.5, 140. But 8.37 RAS score, came in at 5.11, 189, probably more of a slot guy, star position guy, like you've talked about. So he looks really interesting. Cam Hart from Notre Dame, 6'3", 202, 4.5, 40. So you kind of wonder if maybe he's, you know, going to be more of a zone guy, maybe even get moved over to safety, like his former roommate Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame, but still scored a 9.16 on the RAS. And then Nate Wiggins, he was really kind of, for DBs, the big story, aside from Quinyon Mitchell. He ran a 4.29 40, which a lot of people were talking about he might do. RAS score of 9.42, came in at 6'1", 173, so the weight is kind of an issue, but... You know, considering his height, considering the speed, you kind of look at him and you kind of think he's more of a ball hawking type corner. So those are the guys I think definitely like made themselves a little money with the way that they performed at the combine at corner.
Agree.
As far as guys who hurt themselves, one guy I think really hurt themselves, and it's not even his fault, Kool-Aid McKinstry, guy we've talked about all year, was the top corner for us. He's got a Jones fracture, which is a fracture in the fifth metatarsal in the foot. And there's word out there that he might drop out of the first round. Really unfortunate.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Well, I mean, I do believe it. I would believe the beginning of the year he was number one.
No way. He was by far the number one. I mean, even if you had like Cooper DeJean from Iowa above him or Nate Wiggins from Clemson above him, he was there in that top three discussion pretty much the entire year. And now he's in a tough spot because of that injury. So he did not perform at all. He didn't even know about the injury. It was something that came up on medicals. The cornerback duo from Mizzou, Chris Abrams-Drain and Ennis Rakestraw Jr., both of them came in really small. They were both 5'11", but from a weight standpoint, Drain was 179. Abrams-Drain was 179. Rakestraw Jr., 183. RAS score is not too great. 6.61 for Abrams Drain, 4.79 for Rakestraw Jr. So not quite the best performance from those guys.
And both of them were sitting their stocks raise. I mean, there's been a lot of even first rounds.
Late first,
Late rounds for especially Rakestraw.
One guy.
I was seeing him in the first round, wasn't he? Yeah, late drain first. By third.
Yeah, when we did, remember we did our preliminary round.
We had him go to the Ravens.
Yep. Yeah. So one guy I thought really hurt himself, and he didn't perform at the combine. It's Tyler Owens, safety from Texas Tech. And his most notable thing that came from the combine was when he was talking about the flat earth stuff and not believing in space. And look, man.
And so if people wanted to see what he did after talking that stuff.
If you want to believe that, cool, like that's, don't talk about that stuff at a job interview, because that's what this is. The combine is a job interview, and you are having to be evaluated on every single thing that you do at the combine. Everything you say is important. Everything that you do when you are interacting with other players, with other coaches, that stuff gets out. That matters. If you want to believe it, cool. You know, do you, bro? I'm not criticizing what he believes or anything, but why would you say that during your media session at the combine when you know that everyone is looking for that kind of stuff?
They're waiting for it. They're sitting there waiting for their great articles or funny articles they can write about you, and they're wanting to talk that. So, yes. I don't know why somebody would do that and put yourself in that kind of position, because it didn't make any sense. And when he did it, I was like, no, man, come on, man. Come on, man. Don't be talking like the whole thing about the birds earlier. But that was a joke. That's a running joke that people are doing. Yeah. So.
Well, like, just why would you say that stuff, man?
Yeah.
Like, cause you know how these teams are. These teams are so cautious about every part of this draft process. They are going to scrutinize everything you do. Don't give them a reason to scrutinize something. Because, like, now all these teams are going to be like, oh, man, like, if he believes that, like, what about, or if he's not willing to believe that stuff, what if he's going to be rebellious against our coaching, against the role that we assign him, the strategy, the system that we play on defense? Like, there's going to be some questions now. You know how these teams are. I mean, they ask some silly-ass questions during some of these interviews. Like, you know, that one time that Dez Bryant got asked if his mom was a prostitute, you know? Like, they're going to – these teams are trying to find everything they can to figure out who you are. You got to be a little more careful. There's a reason why, like – Caleb Williams was avoiding talking to most of the teams out there and avoiding doing medicals at the combine as a whole and saying, I'm just going to do medicals with the teams at the top, because they don't want that stuff getting out. So it's just like, why would you do that? Why would you volunteer that information?
It's your job interview, man. This is 100% your job interview and what you do. And to not do it, not to do people that know that, hey, you're going to lead the franchise, you're going to make so much money, and you're going to do it. You can't be goofy, man, because they look way too much into this, because they're not doing IQ tests anymore. The wonder look test, not doing this stuff. Nope. They're seeing how you react in front of people.
Yeah, so it's like, why would you do that? Yeah, that to me just like rubbed me the wrong way when day two was going on and that came out, that audio clip. It's like, come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. A couple other guys I'm kind of concerned about. Kalen King, cornerback from Penn State, came in really slow at the 40, 4.6, 140. A lot of people were talking about him having to probably move to safety. That's probably a good move for him. And then the other one, Cameron Kitchens. Last week I misspoke on his height. I said he was 6'4". He's not. He's 5'11". That's actually his teammate at Miami, James Williams. 4'6", 5'40". RAS score of 211. Little concerning for a guy who is, you know, you're looking at playing safety at the NFL level.
I was a little bit surprised, because that's one of the guys that I really wanted to see. Like, Cam Kitchens was that guy that was watching, seeing what he's going to do, but it didn't come blown away, and I considered him kind of the best safety, him and Taylor Newbin, the best safeties coming out in the draft this year.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was really looking forward to seeing what he did, and I was really disappointed by how he performed at the combine. As far as tight ends go, I think this one was the one I was, like, outside of receivers, I was most interested in. And there's like a couple thoughts here. One, I was a little disappointed with Jatavion Sanders. I don't know how you feel about it, but the 40 time didn't impress me at all. And it's like you watch him go through the drills. He looked smooth, but his athleticism didn't pop off the screen like it does with some of these other guys. Like, you know, it just kind of felt like it's like, okay, he looked like a decent tight end, but he didn't pop from a standpoint as far as like running routes, as far as making catches, as far as his ability to kind of accelerate and decelerate on cuts and whatnot. It didn't look bad. I just expected a little bit more from someone that I thought was like a really, really good athlete when you watch him at Texas.
Yeah, he was my Chiefs dream at the beginning of the year. He was mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs a lot, actually. Last year, people were talking about him, and Bowers was the clear identifiable, still is the clear identifiable number one. But, man, I'm telling you, man, Theo Johnson and some of these other, you know, tight ends saw some opportunities. Jatavion, though, is a playmaker, and he does make plays. The 40 time is concerning, but again, bad day. What is it? Is he much faster than that?
Maybe he'll run faster at the pro day.
Guys can have bad days. You know, they can. And I think if he knew he was going to be running that, he would have skipped it.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like there was a lot missing from him. Maybe, like I said, maybe pro day he'll be better. Maybe it was like more of a mental thing being in that situation. But I don't know. I just kind of expected a little more from him. As far as guys I was really impressed with, one, Ben Sinnott, Kansas State. We've been talking about him all year long. He can line up anywhere you need him to. He, to me, from a technical standpoint, was by far the best tight end there. RAS score 975, which is, you know, upper echelon in as far as athletes go, period, let alone for the tight end position. He looked great making catches, great at getting in and out of cuts, just real smooth. You know, had good burst, you know, ran a 4.6 840, which is about what I expected for him. So, like, I was very impressed with his performance. Theo Johnson, who did talk to he did do a formal interview with the Chiefs. Man, he jumped out. You saw his athleticism. This is a 6'6", 259 guy, ran a 4.58 40, and had an RAS score of 999. Like almost a perfect RAS score. He looked so good. The way like all of his catches were crisp and clean. He looked like he had good speed to him, good burst, good routes. Like I was really impressed by what I saw from Theo.
I was wondering where he's going to go, because I was thinking the top three going in: Cade Stover, Theo Johnson. He was the one that really showed out, is what he did. When you thought of tight ends, I don't think this is necessarily a tight end draft like what we had last year, but I kind of came away liking Theo better than I do Jatavion Sanders.
Me too. I mean, I still think Jatavion gets taken in like the second round, but I do think that like if it's me and I'm kind of evaluating where I'm going to go tight end, Theo and Ben Sinnott are like my two guys I'm looking at, and I'm like, okay, those are guys I really need to look at here. Those are guys I would want on my roster. So, like I said, Theo was a guy I wasn't really looking at. I mean, you know, you see the 40 time, it's like, okay, that's interesting. That's really good for a guy who's 6'6", 260. Like, that's a really good number. But then you see the rest of the performance, and it's like, okay, yeah, okay, we think we got our guy here. So I was very impressed by what I saw from him. Coming up next.
It is interesting that Brock Bowers didn't do anything.
Nothing.
But here's the funny thing about Brock Bowers. He's number one ever for yards, number one for catches, number one for his Pro Football Focus score, number one for yards per attempt. So if you're wondering like how good Bowers is in a couple rings under his belt, because there are questions like, why didn't he do it? But hey, a lot of the top quality guys aren't doing it too. But if you watch the game film, you know how good Brock Bowers can be.
So on day three, we had, I mean, this was the big day of the combine. This was the day where everyone was tuned in. It was funny, like that night I did my fantasy football award show. So I didn't get to watch the second group go live. When I got home, I had to watch it after. But, you know, we were texting during it, and you were sending me the 40 times for that group too. And man, obviously the big one, Xavier Worthy. A lot of people thought he was going to run 4.29. He ended up running a 4.25 during his first attempt. Then the second time, it was unofficially a 4.22, but after they the official number was a 4.21. Fastest 40 time ever in combine history. Really happy for the kid because you look at him. That's a great marketing opportunity. Great way for him to kind of get into the league. But he's obviously a very impressive prospect, and certainly a guy that we both have talked about being being drafted by the Chiefs at the end of the first round. One guy though, I think that was like the biggest winner at the combine though, Romo Odunze. Like a lot of word coming out is like Romo Odunze for some teams might be wide receiver one in this draft, even above Marvin Harrison Jr. Like it's like, I think it was like an 80-20 thing is what I heard, but like there's a lot of teams out there who were really impressed by Romo Odunze after the workout had finished for group two. He was still out there working out and working on different drills there, trying to improve. I think that's something that was a big win for him. Brian Thomas Jr. ran a 4.34 40, which is incredibly impressive for someone with his size. A.D. Mitchell, 4.34 40 time as well. Looked real great. Came in a little shorter than what he was listed, but I think we both kind of expected that. And Johnny Wilson as well. 4.52 40 at 6.6 231. Really impressive 40 time from him. I thought that like those are the guys you look at, and they definitely did a lot of winning on Saturday.
No, they did, and another guy too, Ladd McConkey. You know, you talk about this guy. And
yes, he got to the 4.3s.
I was shocked. 4.39.
Yeah,
for Ladd McConkey. But A.D. Mitchell were some of the guys. A.D. Mitchell's and Brian Thomas Jr. were the guys I liked the most coming out of this.
Yeah.
Well, going into this.
Going
because
into
A.D. Mitchell had he's on those Georgia national title teams, transferred to Texas.
Right.
He's bigger, 6'2", over 6'2". Brian Thomas, both these guys I thought were like 6'4", 6'3", and 6'4".
They were listed, but
then they go to the combine and get measured. Although Xavier Leggett, another guy that I liked going into this combine, and he was 6'1", 221 pounds. He's a rocked up dude, but he 4.39 40. You're talking about, big and physical. But Brian Thomas, for a guy that wasn't even in the first round when we first started looking at these things at the beginning of the year, he's definitely in the first round now.
Yeah.
And he's top 15 probably pick.
I don't think he's going to get past 20. And it's sad because I would love the Chiefs.
I still think it's Marvin Harrison, Romo Odunze, Malik Nabers, or it depends on the pro day.
Yeah.
But it looks like Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, then Romo Odunze, then who's number four? Is it Brian Thomas? Is it Xavier Worthy? Because everybody likes his 40 time at this point. Or is it Xavier Leggett, that could be at the end of the first round. Ladd McConkey could be a good value at the end of the first round. I think he's going to be a good value at the second round for somebody.
Me too.
Early in the second round, I think he's going to be a guy that people get. And Tez Walker, the transfer that we talked about a lot from the MAC that ended up in North Carolina, he's 6'1", 193. He finally got that eligibility, but he ran a 4.36.
Yeah.
And Tez Walker definitely shows what he can do. And then Xavier Worthy, again, he didn't just show up. This is a guy that was mocked to the Chiefs early on in September. In October, he had 26 touchdowns. His freshman year, he had 981 yards, almost a 16-yard average at that. So the guy did everything for Texas. He even returned a punt this year for a touchdown for the Longhorns.
I'll tell you this. There's a couple of guys, though, I thought might have hurt themselves a lot. One, Keon Coleman. You brought it up earlier in the show. 4.6 140. He's 6'3", 213. He's not that much bigger than the guys that he was running with, and he didn't come. And I know, he was the fastest time on that gauntlet drill, but man, it just didn't feel like he was that super athlete I think we thought he could be. And then Roman Wilson, wide receiver for Michigan, really hurt himself. He's 5'10", 185, and he ran a 4.4 140. Not a big dude and doesn't have that elite speed. Ladd McConkey beat him out. A lot of guys who were bigger than him beat him out. It was a bit disappointing watching that. He didn't participate in any other drills as well. So all they got was the 40 time and the height weight measurements, and that was it. So big disappointment, I think, as far as wide receivers go. But Xavier Worthy, I think, probably gets drafted before 32. I don't think that he's going to be there for the Chiefs because I think everyone's going to look at him and be like, Chiefs. But A.D. Mitchell, you know, it's funny, of the top wide receivers in this draft class, A.D. Mitchell, RAS score, 998, almost a perfect score. Brian Thomas Jr., 997, almost a perfect score. And those are the two guys I think we both have probably been the highest on as far as going to the Chiefs in the first round.
Well, and the one thing, too, is, you know, with A.D. Mitchell, I'm still seeing, you know, a lot of early 20s, mid-20s. Could it be late 20s? But A.D. Mitchell is the kind of guy that I've really liked A.D. Mitchell. I've really liked these Texas receivers
this year,
to be honest with you. And Quinn Ewers, you know, had these guys both this last year. And Jatavion Sanders, now he's kind of coming back. And that's a lot to lose out on as far as that's concerned. But I've been big into him. And I still, though, for me, at the end of the first round, I'm still looking at A.D. Mitchell there. Brian Thomas, I think, is a pipe dream at the end of the first round. You could reach on a Ladd McConkey maybe at the end of the first round. Not that I wouldn't think he'd be a sensational receiver for the Chiefs. But Xavier Leggett, a guy I could see at the end of the first round, to be honest with you. And Tez Walker,
a guy
I could see at the end of the first round as well.
Yeah, I could see Tez. Like my dream scenario is they get A.D. Mitchell. But I'm cool with Xavier Worthy, though I don't think he's going to be there. Obviously, Brian Thomas Jr. would be the perfect situation. I really love him. I'm kind of out on Troy Franklin a little bit. He didn't run quite as fast as I thought he would. And he does kind of have a drop problem. But yeah, I'm really not in on Keon Coleman either, just because like I don't see the breakaway speed. And I don't think they need another guy like him because they've got that with Rashi Rice. So it's like you need a downfield threat, and I just don't see that with him. So, yeah, right now, yeah, Tez Walker, Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell. Those are and maybe Xavier Leggett. His second 40 run was much better than the first one. The first one, I think, was like a 4.47. It was not that good. And he eventually ran a 4.39. So, and he tested really well as far as the measurables go. Still some hiccups we saw at the Senior Bowl, but you know, I thought he definitely helped himself out with the combine.
But one thing is for sure, I'm sticking at wide receiver for the Chiefs. And I know people have been talking about defensive end or defensive lineman because there's only one, you know, defensive lineman under contract. But I'm staying a wide receiver. I've been this way the whole year. Hell, I was like this last year too. But you got to rebuild the wide receiver room. And when Mike Evans, you know, stays in Tampa, signed a 2-year deal.
2 years, $56 million.
That was a guy people were looking at. Okay, what would Mike Evans do to the wide receiver room if you're going to rebuild your wide receiver room? Now you might have to settle, you know, for a Tyler Boyd type, you know, where somebody in your wide receiver room and then you draft a receiver in the first round and then you have Rashee Rice still here as well. But building your wide receiver room, you don't go to what I think is the best wide receiver draft we've seen in maybe a decade and not get wide receiver in the first round.
So moving on to some rumors that have come out from the combine. First and foremost, here's the list of players that the Chiefs met that we know of right now that met at the combine. Jatavion Sanders, tight end from Texas. Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State. Darius Robinson, defensive lineman from Mizzou. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia, and Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon. I think most of these are smoke screens. Of the guys I think they would be interested in, Theo Johnson is one I think they would be interested in. Xavier Worthy, I think they would be interested in. And I think Darius Robinson is someone they would be. But I kind of feel like that one's a smoke screen just because of the whole Chris Jones situation seeming like it's going to be a little bit more optimistic than we thought at the end of the year. So those are the guys that they met with. As far as, you know, Chris Jones news, reportedly the number is 27 to 28 to get the deal done. And people are optimistic that it will get done and Chris Jones will remain in Kansas City.
I think it's probably going to be a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Possibly.
I was a little bit more concerned when the tag was officially put on Le'Jarius Sneed. And there's talk out there because, you know, if he's got a non-exclusive, so if someone signs him, they have to give up 2 first-round picks.
Right.
I just think he hits
Necessarily 2 first-round picks. They can designate it for, like, second-round pick or something.
If they tag and trade.
If they tag and trade, yeah.
If they just go out and sign him, the Chiefs
they go
don't
out
match
and sign him,
him.
Yes,
that's
it's
2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
But Chris Jones, it looks more and more like, to me, there's going to be so many bidders. So many people want him. I'm more concerned, like, Chris Jones at the end of year 3 or year 2. This year, I'm not concerned about it because this... You're going to get great production
great
from Chris Jones.
Yeah.
He's not faltering off at this point. But is $32 million or $30 million going to hamstring you in 2 years? Probably it's going to do it with anybody because, I mean, you can't pay everybody the top. You can't pay Mahomes top offense, can't pay him top right. defense, you just can't pay everybody. And I really like Snead. Like, Snead's my guy. I've wanted to, you know, stay here for the longest time. So we'll see the direction. I do feel it's more likely to sign Chris Jones because the salary cap bumped up $30 million. But it also means other teams can spend more on him too.
Yeah.
So could it get the $30 million? Absolutely.
Possibly, but here's the thing is like that that 27-28 tells me that he might be willing to take a hometown discount. And that's not something that we thought would happen a year ago. But if it, because like, let's be honest here, we know that he can make more on the free agent market than 27-28. So if you're telling me that 27-28 a year can get it done, you're also telling me that he's probably taking a hometown discount to stay. So I don't know if that's going to push that price up. I think if the Chiefs say, hey, we'll give you 28, we'll give you a 3-year deal for, what is that, $84 million or something like that.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Right in there. RAS score 975, which is, you know, upper echelon in as far as athletes go, period, let alone for the tight end position. He looked great making catches, great at getting in and out of cuts, just real smooth. You know, had good burst, you know, ran a 4.6 840, which is about what I expected for him. So, like, I was very impressed with his performance. Theo Johnson,
yeah.
Who did talk to the, he did do a formal interview with the Chiefs. Man, he jumped out. You saw his athleticism. This is a 6'6", 259 guy, ran a 4.58 40, and had an RAS score of 999. Like, almost a perfect RAS score. He looked so good. The way, like all of his catches were crisp and clean. He looked like he had good speed to him, good burst. Good routes. Like, I was really impressed by what I saw from Theo.
I was wondering where he's going to go because I was thinking the top three going in, Cade Stover, Theo Johnson. He was the one that really showed out is what he did. When you thought of tight ends, I don't think this is necessarily a tight end draft like what we had last year, but I kind of came away liking Theo better than I do Jatavion Sanders.
Me too. I mean, I still think Jatavion gets taken in like the second round, but I do think that, like, if it's me and I'm kind of evaluating where I'm going to go tight end, Theo and Ben Sinnott are like my two guys I'm looking at. And I'm like, okay, those are guys I really need to look at here. Those are guys I would want on my roster. So, like I said, Theo was a guy I wasn't really looking at. I mean, you know, you see the 40 time, it's like, okay, that's interesting. That's really good for a guy who's 6'6", 260. Like, that's a really good number. But then you see the rest of the performance, and it's like, okay, yeah, okay, we think we got our guy here. So that's I was true. Very impressed by what I saw from him. Coming up next.
It is interesting that Brock Bowers didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Nothing. But here's the funny thing about Brock Bowers. He's number one ever for yards, number one for catches, number one for his Pro Football Focus score, number one for yards per attempt. So if you're wondering like how good Bowers is in a couple rings under his belt, because there are questions like, why didn't he do it? But hey, a lot of the top quality guys aren't doing it too. But if you watch the game film, you know how good Brock Bowers can be.
So on day three, we had, I mean, this was the big day of the combine. This was the day where everyone was tuned in. It was funny, like that night I did my fantasy football award show. So I didn't get to watch the second group go live. When I got home, I had to watch it after. But, you know, we were texting during it and you were sending me the 40 times for that group too. And man, I mean, obviously the big one, Xavier Worthy. A lot of people thought he was going to run 4.29. He ended up running a 4.25 during his first attempt. Then the second time, it was unofficially a 4.22, but after they the official number was a 4.21. Fastest 40 time ever in combine history. Really happy for the kid because you know, you look at him. That's a great marketing opportunity. Great way for him to kind of get into the league. But, you know, he's obviously a very impressive prospect and certainly a guy that, you know, we both have talked about being, you know, being drafted by the Chiefs at the end of the first round. One guy, though, I think that was like the biggest winner at the combine, though, Romo Odunze. Like a lot of word coming out is like Romo Odunze for some teams might be wide receiver one in this draft, even above Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, it's like, I think it was like an 80-20 thing is what I heard, but like, there's a lot of teams out there who were really impressed by Romo Odunze after the workout had finished for group two. He was still out there working out and working on different drills there, trying to improve. I think that's something that was a big win for him. Brian Thomas Jr. ran a 4.34 40, which is incredibly impressive for someone with his size. A.D. Mitchell, 4.34 40 time as well. Looked real great. Came in a little shorter than what he was listed, but I think we both kind of expected that. And Johnny Wilson as well. 4.52 40 at 6.6 231. Really impressive 40 time from him. I thought that like those are the guys you look at, and they definitely did a lot of winning on Saturday.
No, they did, and another guy too, Ladd McConkey. You know, you talk about this guy. And
yes, he got to the 4.3s.
I was shocked, 4.39.
Yeah,
for Ladd McConkey. But A.D. Mitchell were some of the guys. A.D. Mitchell's and Brian Thomas Jr. were the guys I liked the most coming out of this.
Yeah,
well, going into this, Mitchell had he's on those Georgia national title teams, transferred to Texas.
Right,
he's bigger, 6'2", over 6'2". Brian Thomas, both these guys I thought were like 6'4", 6'3", and 6'4".
They were listed, but you know, but how
then they go to the combine and get measured, and Xavier Leggett, another guy that I liked going into this combine, and you know, he was 6'1", 221 pounds. He's a rocked up dude, you know, but he 4.39 40. You're talking about, you know, big physical. But Brian Thomas, for a guy that wasn't even in the first round when we first started looking at these things at the beginning of the year, he's definitely in the first round now.
Yeah.
And he's top 15 probably pick.
I don't think he's going to get past 20. And it's sad because I would love the Chiefs.
I still think it's Marvin Harrison, Romo Odunze, Malik Nabers, or it depends on the pro day.
Yeah.
But it looks like Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, then Romo Odunze, then who's number four? Is it Brian Thomas? Is it Xavier Worthy? Because everybody likes his 40 time at this point. Or is it Xavier Leggett that could be at the end of the first round? Ladd McConkey could be a good value at the end of the first round. I think he's going to be a good value at the second round for somebody.
Me too.
Early in the second round, I think he's going to be a guy that people get. And Tez Walker, the transfer that we talked about a lot from the MAC that ended up in North Carolina, he's 6'1", 193. He finally got that eligibility, but he ran a 4.36.
Yeah.
And Tez Walker definitely shows what he can do. And then Xavier Worthy, again, you know, he didn't just show up. This is a guy that was mocked to the Chiefs early on in September. In October, he had 26 touchdowns. His freshman year, he had 981 yards, almost a 16-yard average at that. So the guy did everything for Texas. He even returned a punt this year for a touchdown for the Longhorns.
I'll tell you this. There's a couple of guys, though, I thought might have hurt themselves a lot. One, Keon Coleman. You brought it up earlier in the show. 4.6 140. just, I mean, I he's 6'3", 213. He's not that much bigger than the guys that he was running with. And he just, he didn't come, and I know, yeah, the, you know, he was the fastest time on the, on that gauntlet drill, but man, it just didn't feel like he was that super athlete I think we thought he could be. And then Roman Wilson, wide receiver for Michigan, really hurt himself. He's 5'10", 185, and he ran a 4'4", 140. Not a big dude and doesn't have that elite speed. Ladd McConkey beat him out. A lot of guys who were bigger than him beat him out. As far, I mean, it was a bit disappointing watching that. He didn't participate in any other drills as well. So all they got was the 40 time and the height weight measurements, and that was it. So big disappointment, I think, as far as wide receivers go. But yeah, I mean, Xavier Worthy, I think, probably gets drafted before 32. I don't think that he's going to be there for the Chiefs, because I think everyone's going to look at him and be like, Chiefs. But A.D. Mitchell, you know, it's funny, of the top wide receivers in this draft class, A.D. Mitchell, RAS score, 998, almost a perfect score. Brian Thomas Jr., 997, almost a perfect score. And those are the two guys I think we both have probably been the highest on as far as going to the Chiefs in the first round.
Well, and the one thing, too, is, you know, with A.D. Mitchell, I'm still seeing, you know, a lot of early 20s, mid-20s, could it be late 20s? But A.D. Mitchell is the kind of guy that I've really liked. A.D. Mitchell, I've really liked these Texas receivers
this year,
to be honest with you. And Quinn Ewers, you know, had these guys both this last year. And Jatavion Sanders, now he's kind of coming back, and that's a lot to lose out on as far as that's concerned. But I've been big into him. And I still, though, for me, at the end of the first round, I'm still looking at A.D. Mitchell there. Brian Thomas, I think, is a pipe dream at the end of the first round. You could reach on a Ladd McConkey maybe at the end of the first round. Not that I wouldn't think he'd be a sensational receiver for the Chiefs. But Xavier Leggett, a guy I could see at the end of the first round, to be honest with you. And Tez Walker,
a guy
I could see at the end of the first round as well.
Yeah, I can see Tez. Like my dream scenario is they get A.D. Mitchell. But I'm cool with Xavier Worthy, though I don't think he's going to be there. Obviously, Brian Thomas Jr. would be the perfect situation. I really love him. I'm kind of out on Troy Franklin a little bit. He didn't run quite as fast as I thought he would. And he does kind of have a drop problem. I'm really not in on Keon Coleman either, just because, like, I don't see the breakaway speed. And I don't think they need another guy like him, because they've got that with Rashi Rice. So it's like you need a downfield threat, and I just don't see that with him. So, yeah, right now, yeah, Tez Walker, Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell. Those are and maybe Xavier Leggett. His second 40 run was much better than the first one. The first one, I think, was like a 4.47. It was not that good. And he eventually ran a 4.39. So, and he tested really well as far as the measurables go. Still some hiccups we saw at the Senior Bowl, but you know, I thought he definitely helped himself out with the combine.
But one thing is for sure, I'm sticking at wide receiver for the Chiefs. And I know people have been talking about defensive end or defensive lineman, because there's only one, you know, defensive lineman under contract. But I'm staying a wide receiver. I've been this way the whole year. Hell, I was like this last year, too. But you got to rebuild the wide receiver room. And when Mike Evans, you know, stays in Tampa, signed a two-year deal.
2 years, $56 million.
That was a guy people were looking at. Okay, what would Mike Evans do to the wide receiver room if you're going to rebuild your wide receiver room? Now you might have to settle, you know, for a Tyler Boyd type. You know, where somebody in your wide receiver room, and then you draft a receiver in the first round, and then you have Rashee Rice still here as well. But building your wide receiver room, you don't go to what I think is the best wide receiver draft we've seen in maybe a decade and not get wide receiver in the first round.
So moving on to some rumors that have come out from the combine. First and foremost, here's the list of players that the Chiefs met that we know of right now that met at the combine. Jatavion Sanders, tight end from Texas. Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State. Darius Robinson, defensive lineman from Mizzou. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia, and Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon. I think most of these are smoke screens. Of the guys I think they would be interested in, Theo Johnson is one I think they would be interested in. Xavier Worthy, I think they would be interested in. And I think Darius Robinson is someone they would be. But I kind of feel like that one's a smoke screen, just because of the whole Chris Jones situation seeming like it's going to be a little bit more optimistic than we thought at the end of the year. So those are the guys that they met with. As far as, you know, Chris Jones news, reportedly the number is 27 to 28 to get the deal done. And people are optimistic that it will get done, and Chris Jones will remain in Kansas City.
I think it's probably going to be a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Possibly,
yeah. I was a little bit more concerned when the tag was officially put on Le'Jarius Sneed, and there's talk out there because, you know, he's got a non-exclusive, so if someone signs him, they have to give up 2 first-round picks.
Right.
I just think he hits the
open. It's not necessarily 2 first-round picks. They can designate it for like second round pick or something.
If they tag and trade.
If they tag and trade, yeah.
If they just go out and sign him, the Chiefs don't match him.
That's
2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
But Chris Jones, it looks more and more like to me, there's going to be so many bidders. So many people want him. I'm more concerned like Chris Jones at the end of year three or year two. This year, I'm not concerned about it because you're going to get great production
great
from Chris
year.
Jones.
Yeah.
He's not faltering off at this point. But is $32 million or $30 million going to hamstring you in 2 years? Probably. It's going to do it with anybody because, I mean, you can't pay everybody the top. You can't pay Mahomes top offense. Can't pay him top
right.
defense. You just can't pay everybody. And I really like Sneed. Like, Sneed's my guy. I've wanted to, you know, stay here for the longest time. So we'll see the direction. I do feel it's more likely to sign Chris Jones because the salary cap bumped up $30 million. But it also means other teams can spend more on him, too.
Yeah.
So could it get to $30 million? Absolutely.
Possibly, but here's the thing is like that 27-28 tells me that he might be willing to take a hometown discount. And that's not something that we thought would happen a year ago. But if it, because like, let's be honest here, we know that he can make more on the free agent market than 27-28. So if you're telling me that 27-28 a year can get it done, you're also telling me that he's probably taking a hometown discount to stay. So I don't know if that's going to push that price up. I think if the Chiefs say, hey, we'll give you 28, we'll give you a 3-year deal for. Was that $84 million or something like that? And you know, let's say 60 of it's guaranteed or whatever. Maybe 50. 60 is a little high. But let's say it's like 45, 50 million guaranteed. We can get out of it after 2 years. I think that's a deal that works both for him and for the Chiefs. So if that's the case, then I think that it's more likely that deal gets done.
Yeah. Agreed.
As far as other news, real quick before we end the show, Nick Allegretti probably not going to be back with the Chiefs, looking for a starting position.
3 rings with the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's had a very good career in Kansas City, so I'm not going to be mad at him at all if he wants to go somewhere and start and get the bag. He's been very successful here, been very good as a spot starter, so not at all mad at him for doing that. Funny news coming out of San Francisco. One, they interviewed Dave Merritt. That's not funny, but interviewed Dave Merritt. He didn't get the position. So unfortunate for him. Looks like he'll probably be back here in Kansas City. It's unfortunate, but you know, again, it happens. The other one, which is funny, Steve Spagnuolo. 49ers are trying to sign that man before he ended up re-upping with the Kansas City Chiefs last week.
San Francisco is saying, okay, Kansas City shut us down. What are they doing against this? Let's go out and try to get more and more guys that were in Kansas City and pick their brain, which hopefully Dave Barris wasn't at, you know, because his kids, you know, good high school.
Yeah, hopefully
brain.
He didn't give up too much.
Yeah, because, you know, that's exactly what they wanted to do.
Right, yeah, and that's kind of what I feel like, too, is it was more so, let's see what because if you interview him and you try to get Spags, you're telling me that you're trying to get a little bit, get something
you're
out of it
the
if
Chiefs
you don't
are better.
Get Spags. Yeah, exactly. That's what it tells me. And then they just ended up promoting from within anyways. Then there again, like I brought up, there's some murmurs that Marvin Harrison Jr. might not be the top receiver for most teams. I still think he will be. I still think he's going to be the top receiver taken off the board. But Romo Dunze made himself some money. I think he's wide receiver two in his draft class now.
100%.
I think he did a lot for himself character wise. He was like from a technical standpoint, he was by far the best receiver at the combine. I think Odunze did a lot for himself. Russell Wilson, it was announced today, will be cut. When the league year starts next Wednesday, so looks like the Broncos are going to be in for a quarterback in the first round of the draft. I think we now know that for sure. And then finally, the Bears look like they're working on a trade for Justin Fields to get him out. They're probably going to wait until after they get some of these free agent signings out there, like Kirk Cousins and obviously Russell Wilson's going to be talked about. Baker Mayfield, who's, you know, supposedly not going to give the Bucks a hometown discount to stay. So probably it'll be after free agency starts, a deal gets done as far as Justin Fields getting moved. But it looks like now Caleb Williams is the guy. There was some skepticism about his veracity as a starting quarterback there in Chicago before the combine, but There were some execs coming out of the combine who were like, yeah, this is our guy. We really like him. And it looks like Caleb Williams for sure is going first, number one overall. Well, the Bears.
It's a quarterback run. Isn't it funny when you see the AFC in the AFC West, the fact that all the money this division is sending on the Chiefs? I liken it to a board game where you're hitting all these steps and you hit that one space says return to start. Think about it, $85 million dead money for Russell Wilson. $85 million. They're paying him $39 million.
He's gonna be a post June 1st cut.
So some teams can sign him for the minimum.
Yeah.
And they'll probably take $1 million out. Still him $38 million. But he's a post June 1 cut. They can do it now. That's how they do things. The NFL said it's not fair to make you wait till June anymore. Yeah. You can find another team. So technically he's a June 1st cut, but it's $85 million they spread over 2 years.
Right.
But it's still all the money the Broncos are spending chasing the Chiefs.
I think the Raiders are in the same situation. I think his cap hit is going to be like almost 40. His dead cap hit is going to be almost $40 million this year. So the Broncos aren't going to have much room to do a lot in free agency because they're going to be paying a guy quarterback money who will not even be on the roster. It's ridiculous. And then next year too, like this is going to be really tough. This is why they're going to have to draft a quarterback in the draft come April. So that's real big news. It certainly is good news for the Chiefs because it means that's one more quarterback taken in the first round. And that means that one less receiver gets taken in the first round.
That's right, one less.
And so it works. That math, you've been talking about it a lot since we started doing this podcast about the math with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, the math.
Positions that the Chiefs don't need that first round. I think it's going to be a very tackle-heavy first round. I think it's going to be a very quarterback-heavy first round. May not be a heavy wide receiver first round like we thought it would
be. Yeah, I still think
we'll
six
see.
To seven.
We'll see.
I think seven tackles go. And then when you throw in like a Powers Johnson, or you throw in Jack Powers Johnson, or even like a, could they get maybe, besides tackles, throw in a center or a guard, how many can you get? We're going to see some record numbers.
I think so, too. So, for Jay Binkley, Kristen Ocero, thank you for listening to the Care Concerns podcast. We would appreciate it if you would download, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to. For those listening on the radio, we thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to us and our draft musings. This has been the Character Concerns podcast on 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.